Morris, and you are about to embark on the next Pioneer Knowledge Services Because You Need to Know, a digital resource for you to listen to folks share their experience and knowledge around the field of knowledge management and nonprofit work. Company or organization would like to help us continue this mission and sponsor one of our shows, email bynTK at pioneer-ks.org.
Hi, I'm Stas Bolanewski. I live in Buffalo, New York, and I currently work at EOS Worldwide, and I am a certified EOS implementer. One of the last books I read was Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, and it was important to me because it taught me a couple things. It taught me tactical empathy and some really great negotiation techniques. Chris was a former negotiator for one of the three-letter acronym agencies and wrote one hell of a great book. I was asked, if I was stranded on a desert island, what my top three must-haves are, and they were sailboat, GPS, and fresh water, so I could go. A way I stay connected with people is usually by inviting them out to drink. I am inspired when I see a leadership team gain traction, because that is the reason that I exist as an EOS implementer.
Anything interesting around where you live?
I'm coming to you from a building built in the 1880s that used to be grain storage in downtown Buffalo, New York, in the Cobblestone District. This is just a concrete box that is really cool and has been rehabbed by our landlord. And it's interesting and, you know, it's part of the rebirth of Buffalo. We love it.
If you had to identify the hardest thing an organization has to do, what would that be?
Lots of answers.
All right, give me the top three.
You know, sometimes it's just as simple as trusting themselves and getting out of their own way. Whenever I start an EOS implementation, I always walk in and I say, guys, listen, I'm not a consultant, right? I'm not like one of these young kids carrying briefcase from McKinsey or KPMG or any of those places. I'm not here to tell you what to do. The answers are in the room. I'm here to teach, facilitate, and coach. Facilitation being the thing I do the most.
So back it up a little bit. What's EOS?
EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, based on the book Traction, written by Gino Wickman.
Okay.
It is a way for us to harness the human energy of a leadership team, get everybody rowing the boat in the same direction to get to places where teams are stunned that they got to.
So how difficult is this to do?
It's another one of those sort of half answers, right? EOS is very simple, but it is not easy.
Okay.
You know, we believe that people need three things, right? Executives need three things: a peer group, an operating system, and a coach.
I'm going to back that up because I'm going to say that 78% of the people listening are thinking operating system is a software.
Right.
So why don't you explain what you're saying?
So it's called the Entrepreneurial Operating System because this is how you operate entrepreneurs. Mac OS, whatever, is how you operate a Mac. Windows, whatever, is how you operate a Windows machine. And EOS is how you operate an entrepreneur. It is a way for humans to interact, and it is a way for them to run amazing businesses.
What's the downside?
Downside is it's a bright flashlight that you shine in every corner of your company.
So what are you going to find when you get the flashlight? What are you going to find?
Are you familiar with the puppies and cockroaches concept?
Tell me about that.
Okay, imagine there's a puppy in a dark room. You open the door and turn on the lights. What does the puppy do?
Probably stares blankly.
It usually would run to you.
Okay.
You do the same thing in a room full of cockroaches and flip on the lights.
Scurry.
They scatter.
Yes.
So there are three kinds of people in a company: campers, climbers, and quitters. Quitters are my favorite because they self-select, right? They just leave.
They check out. They're like, yeah, I don't want this. Nope.
Climbers are climbers. Those are our people, right? They're the ones that want to be the next you inside your company. Love them. And then the campers are the scariest ones.
Yeah.
They do just enough not to get fired, but doing irreparable harm to the morale, the P&L, the everything of a company.
You're saying that this is a get under the hood philosophy, and more than a philosophy, a practice, to get under the hood of the organization, figure out what the gunk is, right? We've talked about this, the gunk, the stuff that gunks up the machine, and you want to up the performance, but also you punch accountability right upside the head and say, you have to be accountable in this organization.
That's right.
Is everybody accountable?
Top to bottom, side to side, yes, everybody.
Isn't that a little different than most organizations are used to?
It's very different.
So explain how that gets employed.
The way we drive accountability is really building blocks. So the first building block is the accountability chart. So think org chart, but with the five main bullets of accountability. What are you responsible for? So that if the flux capacitor breaks, I can look on the accountability chart, look for flux capacitor and say, oh, that's Bob. Bob, what's wrong with the flux capacitor? The way we determine someone's ability to sit in that seat, and pardon me for all the acronyms, but it is what it is. The way we validate someone in a seat is GWC. Get it, want it, capacity to do it.
Hmm.
If you put me in the point guard position on an NBA team, I get it. I know exactly what it takes. It's sneaker deals and it's a lot of fun. I want it more than anything. But capacity, I lack the stamina and the vertical leap to be able to perform in that seat, so I can't have it.
Mm.
Once you determine GWC, that someone gets, wants, has the capacity, that determines that they're in the right seat.
Mm-hmm.
Above that is, are they a right person? Do they live by our set of core values? Right person, right seat. Let's assume yes on all of that. Now, how do you drive accountability? The math equation there is L plus M equals A. Leadership plus management equals accountability.
Makes sense.
You can't drive accountability if people have no context, if they're not given the right tools, if they don't understand where they're headed as a company and what their role is. So what we figured out, if somebody's a right person in the right seat and they are not accountable, that is 100% on leadership, because that means we are either not leading them or we're not managing them. But that's not their fault. You know the old saying, no bad dogs, just bad owners?
Yeah.
But you know, you've heard it said 100 times that like that's the whole thing. You have to provide structure. You have to provide an environment. You have to explain to people what winning looks like. You have to give them all the tools to win.
Is this an HR thing? It sounds like you're talking about expected behaviors out of an organization, and you want to have people read on to this to be able to apply themselves to this and also be measured by it. So is this an HR function?
It is run by the entire leadership team. Anything that touches humans, I would say, is an HR function.
Yeah, yeah.
But EOS is split into 6 key components.
Hmm.
So the first component is the vision component, and that's figuring out where you want to go and how you're going to get there. The next component is the people component. So that's all about determining right people in right seats. After that is the data component, where we figure out all the things that the people are doing, like what are the outputs that we're getting? Mm-hmm. What are the activities that we're engaged in giving us a leading indicator of future performance? If any of that is wrong, the next component is the issues component, where we identify, discuss, and solve issues for the greater good of the company. After that is process, right? Which is the thing that allows us to scale and allows us to drive a lot of the higher level tasks down lower into the organization to increase efficiency and increase happiness. And then all that boils down to the 6th and final component, which is the traction component, where we live in a 90-day world, starting and ending projects quarterly and having an appropriate meeting pulse with level 10 meetings that allow us to make sure all of these ideas are actually becoming true.
Well, how many organizations start off up here that they want this, and then somewhere in the transition, they're like, whoa, this is a lot of work. Or the culture pushes back and said, we're not doing this.
Okay, I'll give you 2 answers. One is sort of what we're told when we become EOS implementers, that one out of six of your clients will not graduate, meaning they will not get to 80% strong in the six key components.
Okay.
That is an average across thousands of companies and variety of reasons, economic, system doesn't work for them, whatever. I'm just trying to do the math on my ratio. I've started 38 companies on their EOS journey and have had three that will not graduate.
Is there any telltale signs that give you indicators up front that it's going to be a hard channel for them?
Yeah. Leadership team dysfunction.
Explain that a little bit.
If you read Pat Lencioni and talk about the five dysfunctions of a team, it's a five-tiered pyramid that starts, the base of it is vulnerability-based trust. And it ladders up through, you know, through conflict, through commitment, all the way up to ultimately results. Teams that lack vulnerability-based trust and don't go that way, they tend not to make it.
Is there an industry or business sector that does this well versus another?
No.
No?
Well, no. I mean, it's 10 to 250 employees, entrepreneurially minded, looking to grow, hitting a point of inflection. They don't know what they don't know, but they're eager to learn.
The ones
that are like, I know everything, and then they don't need us because they won't buy us anyway. It's fine.
You're treating the organization as a software implementer of its own organization.
Correct. It feels like software because it has a set of, it's interesting. It has a set of commands, right? It has a set language, but instead of operating hardware, you're operating humans.
That's a great philosophy. So how does the upgrades happen over time? As personnel floats, let's say you've got you're saying there's a graduation scale or a graduation level of an organization that graduates. That's the terminology. All right. So once an organization graduates, what's the sustainment model to keep that perking along?
Once they reach 80% strong throughout the entire organization in each of the six key components of EOS, the habits have been so deeply ingrained into the organization that it's a flywheel. It just runs.
Yeah.
Some of those graduates will have me in for their annual. So I'll run a two-day annual for them as I had in previous years. And it's awesome because it's a homecoming, right? I get to see people that I haven't seen in a year. Yeah. I get to see their growth. You know, I meet new team members that are up to speed on EOS and I didn't teach them how to do it. So that means that the organization is like, that flywheel is just spinning.
The potential is unlimited because you're giving the process and orientation for personnel to operate in a very proficient manner.
Here's the goal. The second most recent EOS book that came out, the realization that Gino and his co-founder Don Tinney came to is companies that run on EOS have a tendency for their people to live what they coined as the EOS life, which is five pieces: doing what you love with people you love, making a big difference, being compensated appropriately with time for other passions. Gone are the days of 2,600 hour years.
What's the smallest sized organization you would want to deal with?
10 people is usually the smallest. I have dealt with smaller, some with great success. That is exception, not rule. You generally want to have a professional leadership team, meaning that the people that occupy the seats, if you look at the simplest organization of a marketing and sales seat, an operations seat, and a finance seat with an integrator to keep the trains running on time, those four people all need to be leveled up and similar sort of speed and ability and acumen.
So is there a shortcut to all of this?
To running on EOS?
You've been operating in this system for a while. Are there shortcuts that a small organization, other than probably buying the book, I'm assuming that's a plus up right there.
Right.
Buy the book and start to gather some knowledge on how this all works. Curious, you know, if you've got a small nonprofit and you're wanting to start professionalizing the organization to get better, what would be some tips that you could give them if they did not want to go down the road of EOS just yet, but what would be some tips that would aid them in helping to get there?
I think clarity. Clarity is one thing that's very important. Getting everybody around the table, whoever your co-founders are or your friends or your buddies, let's get crystal clear on where we want to go and what we're accountable for. Right? If you and I spin up a business and you're doing sales and I'm doing sales and we're doing it differently and we're just sort of hoping for results, we're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to create confusion in the market and we're not going to be as good as we can be. If you're an amazing opener and I'm a great closer, then I would flip that thing on its ear and say, you go and open as much as you can, and I'll go and close as much as I can.
So it sounds that there is a true understanding and assessment of the capacities, just in that example. You understand the capacities and the limitations, and then address that as such with this clarity as you keep bringing up. And to go back to the accountability piece, like in your instance of the two guys selling, if there's no accountability to the strategic importance of working in unison or having a formal system in play, whatever formal level that is, at least something, right? It's better to have something than nothing, because then everything is just a wish and a dream at that point. I hear what you're saying. And one of the things that I really liked about this EOS is that you give the parameters, and I want you to speak to this a little bit. That's why I'm throwing it this way. A lot of the gunk in operations is the meetings. The thing that probably is 70% of most people's days in the world of remote work is attending and being part of these meetings. Can you tell us a little bit of how the construct of meetings in EOS is viewed?
It is the linchpin in the traction component. It is called the level 10 meeting because Harvard Business Review did a survey, you know, a couple thousand people, typical HBR kind of stuff. When they tallied up all the votes, people were having level 4 meetings. So a level 10 meeting starts on time, ends on time, same time of day, same day of the week, same agenda. It allows for a human connection, allows for reporting of measurables, projects, customer employee headlines, to-dos that were committed to the previous week. So you have an accountability piece, and all that takes 25 minutes. It is rapid fire, on track, off track, done, not done sort of stuff. And then you have 60 minutes for what we call IDS, which is identifying, discussing, and solving issues. Most issues, as they present in a company, are not the issue. They are the symptom.
Can you give me an example of that? Can you work that into an example?
Sure. CFO kicks the door in and says, we're running out of money.
Okay.
That's not an issue. That's a problem.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you go down the path of the five whys. Why are we running out of money? Mm-hmm. Two ways to run out of money. Insufficient revenue or expenses are too high. Which is it? Revenue's down. All right. So we've just eliminated half of all possible problems. Why is revenue down? Competition. Why is the competition beating us? They have the new Widgetron 2000. It's better than our widget version 5. Okay. Do we have a competitor for that? No, we do not. Why not? Well, because we haven't developed a new product in 6 years. Aha. The problem isn't we're running out of money. Yeah. The outcome of not having innovation and losing product market fit is the reason we're running out of money. So the thing to solve for isn't let's go get more money.
Yeah.
Right? Because the CFO could be like, I can go leverage this. I can go get a bank line. I can blah, blah, blah. You're solving for the wrong thing. You need the Widgetron 3000.
So you're saying you need to have a Columbo at every meeting in order to dig down to the real question and the answers.
And the magic happens when everybody's Columbo.
Ah.
When everyone's like, okay, what about this?
Yeah.
When you get to a no wrong answers kind of approach and people are allowed to sort of yes and their way through mm-hmm. set of questions, it's really powerful.
So what was that first layer of the pyramid you said? What's the base layer?
Vulnerability-based trust.
Trust, yeah. So that's that, right? You're being allowed to venture out and share concepts and ideas.
And the funny thing is, you use the word allowed because if you look at the construct of psychological safety, four levels of psychological safety, three of them have an exchange, right? Well, actually, all of them have an exchange. So first is inclusion safety, which is an exchange of inclusion for, you know, keeping somebody from harm, Maslow's hierarchy sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Next is learner safety. And the social exchange there is learning for the ability and the desire to learn. I will teach you if you learn. Next is contributor safety, which is, you know, the social exchange there is autonomy in exchange for results. Mm-hmm. And then above that is challenger safety. And the exchange there is air cover for candor.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, right?
Yeah.
I will protect you if you're candid with me. Mm-hmm. You BS me, that air cover goes away. But I will make sure you're safe. Tell me everything you see that's wrong with this business.
Who couldn't stand that kind of candor? I mean, that really is the essence of understanding and organizational learning, to have that flexibility and engagement, like you're saying, with this social construct of being able to communicate, share, and not feel threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to answer your question, although it was rhetorical, I'm going to answer it anyway. Who can't handle that? People with ego and fear. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Yep.
I don't want to know. I'm smarter than you.
I've heard of people like that.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
No, thanks.
Those type of people are not very good sharers to begin with.
They're not.
In my judgment.
Your judgment is correct.
I feel so validated. Thank you.
You know, I'd tell you if I thought you were wrong.
Out of all this, can you define for me what knowledge management is?
I would think it's the sum total of all of the knowledge of all of the people inside the organization.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good assumption. Does the EOS give a pretty stiff definitional glossary of terminology? Do you have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every TLA is well defined.
I don't know what a TLA is.
Three letter acronym.
Ah, those TLAs. Oh my gosh. I learned a new one. Thank you. So what does the future hold for EOS? Is this going to be a software introduction? Can it be an app or operational software?
There is a piece of software that helps you run on EOS.
Okay.
So the blocking and tackling of the meetings, there's a piece of approved software called 90.io, and there's another piece of software that EOS Worldwide is in development on right now. So very similar. Yeah, the software is a great crutch, but we can do this with flip charts and notepaper.
So it shouldn't scare too many people that are techno scared.
Oh, no.
Okay. Very, very old school in that method.
If you're not afraid of your stapler, you shouldn't be afraid of this.
What is the hardest thing with this deployment? You've talked about enterprise level, so I'm assuming you don't go into sections or departments of an organization. You want to go through the whole...
Yeah. Up to a 250... I mean, rule is 10 to 250 employees. I've seen successful implementations in much larger companies as well, but you need to be up at the leadership team level.
Okay.
Drive this thing all the way through. The analogy that I can give you is that of a symphony. If you consider a symphony orchestra, you have your composer that writes the piece, your conductor that manages the orchestra, and then you have all of your first chairs for every instrument. So in our language, the composer would be the visionary, the conductor would be the integrator, and then the leadership team would be all of the first chairs. Composer writes it, has the meeting with the integrator, we call that the same page meeting, says this is how I want it played. They then go into level 10 meeting, and they say to the leadership team, violins, you come in heavy here, percussion, you do this, that, the other thing. Those first chairs then leave, have their level 10 meetings with their, you know, all the violins have a conversation, all the percussion has a conversation. Then they come back, and while they're playing it, it is the integrator that is helping to remove blocks and barriers for the leadership team, make sure everyone's playing the music properly.
Well, it has a lot of paradigms similar to a military construct in that there is one mission, it will say the pinnacle, this is the mission, and the mission constantly changes, but for this discussion. So you have the mission, and then you have all these echelons that have certain components within this operation that have to have certain times and hash marks and departure lines and all these things that have to be coordinated. I mean, it's a huge coordination effort across a lot of territory. Mm-hmm. Does EOS apply in a multinational or a large regional stretch? Does it matter if they're all co-located?
Oh, no, you can, using this construct, you can be absolutely distributed because you know that you have one central rendezvous point. You are guaranteed 90 minutes of strategic time with your leadership to do that. And it's interesting, the one you mentioned, military, one military construct that exists in EOS is that of disagree and commit. So we have vulnerability-based trust. We are able to have really good debate. Everybody has challenger safety. And after the integrator has heard everybody, they get the privilege of breaking all ties. The tie could have been 7-1 against them. And they can say, all right, I hear you. We're marching east. And everybody says, okay, even if they disagree. So there's none of this, well, I said west, but Bob said east.
Yeah. Nobody ever listens to me and blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah.
None of that.
That dissension is probably a very normal human reaction to nobody listening to me. But the counter to that is in this construct, you're given the responsibility to agree to this construct to begin with.
That's right.
You're buying into this hook, line, and sinker, and you don't get to say, oh, back out of that, because that's a commitment. I assume you're asking folks to commit to this.
Well,
they have to be committed to this.
I'm asking them as people to commit to each other to be the best leadership team they can be. In terms of the business committing to EOS or an EOS implementer, there's never a commitment because we can't want this more than you.
Yeah.
We have an implementer who shall remain nameless, says, listen, man, if you got to drag him in, you got to drag him around. And that is not fun for anybody.
That's a lot of work. I know, right?
Not worth it.
Yeah. Well, but what I'm saying on a commitment piece, so you roll this out and all the folks in the organization have to buy into the parameters of what this is.
Yeah.
So they can't, at that point where everybody wants to go east and one person said, nope, let's go west, they can't be part of the naysay and negative group in the background murmuring to themselves. You want to have expected behaviors expressed, so there cannot be this wishy-washiness.
Yeah, and you know, you said people have this huge percentage of their time in meetings. One of the reasons why is that freaking meeting after the meeting, when the actual decisions get made, that doesn't happen. We have a level 10 meeting, leadership team is there, decisions get made in the room. They get articulated as to-dos that you agree to, and you leave that meeting on time.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back to you later saying, yeah, that to-do that I agreed to do, I'm not actually going to do it. Get out. Just get out.
Well, and there's a public display, so to speak. So if you're going to be in a group meeting and you had a to-do last week and you're like, yeah, I didn't do it, everybody's going to know. Well, you know, so does that play into this? Is there some psychology there of group ownership of, hey,
oh, yeah,
hey, you said you were going to do this?
Yeah, the psychology is very real. And I had someone in my room yesterday. He was talking about how all of the work that they did, they turned in their first set of rocks, so their first set of 90-day priorities. And they had a stunningly high rock completion ratio for a brand new team. The integrator said, listen, this stuff would have gotten done, but certainly not by today.
Okay.
Said, I had a deadline for today's meeting. I knew, you know, 13 weeks ago that I was going to have this stuff done. And every week I declared that I was on track. There was no way I was going to show up and not have this stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that wasn't done, it was declared early that it was off track. That's a sign of bravery. It's a sign of team health. It's a sign of all that stuff.
It's a sign of maturity, right? I mean, organizational maturity to say, you know what? Hey, it's not going to happen. Instead of hiding behind something and hope nobody sees you, you know, you just own it.
Well, those are your campers. Those are your campers.
So walk me through those three again, please.
Campers, climbers, and quitters. A buddy of mine that I worked with for a decade, he used to always say, man, there's campers, climbers, and quitters. And it's true. The climbers are the climbers. They're unbelievable. You see where they are. You see what they're doing. All you have to do is just give them tools, get out of the way, and cheer for them when they win, or pick them up when they crash, because those crashes are violent. Mm-hmm. The quitters, they get scared. They cut bait. Fine. And then the ones that are basically... Scott Adams had a really great book, a really great Dilbert book, where the main premise was to lay low and not make the big mistake.
Well, right? I've got a little history with bureaucratic organizations, and I will say there's a lot of those.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I occasionally get pushback on implementing EOS from really crazy visionaries. And they're like, I do not want to become corporate. And I always say, we're not becoming corporate. We're just professionalizing the enterprise. That's it. I'm not saying you need to start filling out TPS reports. Like that sounds like hell.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because this is just a good practical experience and a conception that provides direction and proficiency for an organization. It removes that gunk. The gunk that slows up and gets lodged and causes friction and makes things go break, this helps to remove all that organizational gunk.
Yeah. I had a guy during a leadership team annual, two-day annual, halfway through day two, says, you know what, guys? I don't think this is for me. We're like, what do you mean not for you? He's like, this... blooms off the rose. This place is not interesting enough for me. This isn't going to work.
Okay.
It's not going to work for me. So for the greater good of the company, I'm out.
Congratulations.
We're like, wow, damn. All right. Two questions. Are you leaving right now? He's like, yep, I'm leaving right now. I'm like, all right. Question two, are you coming to dinner tonight? He goes, hell yeah, I'm coming to dinner. Right? So he quit. He effectively quit, still friend of the company, still friend of all the founders, still went to dinner, had an amazing time. He's like, I now know what a dog feels when the leash breaks. He goes, this is awesome.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
He was like, this is not for me. You are my people, but this company is not for me anymore. The people that got you there are not necessarily the ones that are going to get you there. So he was like, this is, I want to go do different things that do not align with the core principles of this company. Our core focus is different from what I want to do professionally. But I wish you the best, and I still want to have a bourbon with you.
Well, let's go back to that, because it brings up the concept of personal mission alignment, or your purpose, your personal purpose. You've talked about building out the purpose and the mission and the vision and all those things for the organization, but do you do it to the person? Just to see if there's an alignment, because there's got to be a measurement of some sort. If it's not internal, it's external. Something to say, hey, are you in or out?
The measurement is the core values.
Okay.
That's what determines right people. And because if they're the right people, then they're going to look at our purpose, cause, and passion in our niche and be like, yeah, you know what? This is what I truly want to do. Mm-hmm. So if you look at EOS worldwide, our purpose, cause, and passion is to help entrepreneurial leaders get what they want from their business. My personal mission is to help companies grow. EOS Worldwide's 10-year target is 100,000 companies running on EOS. My personal 10-year target is $1 billion of client-side revenue growth. That's why I love being an EOS implementer, because I'm dead on aligned. We articulate it differently because I can't get to 100,000 companies and $1 billion of revenue side growth for EOS Worldwide. I mean, we do that. Shoot, we probably do that every month. Month over month, 20,000 companies? Yeah.
So who needs this?
I would say business executives that want to live the EOS life. It has to come from the top. I mean, it is very rare that it would come from the CFO bringing EOS in. It has to be the founders. It has to be the owners. This is not something that you do to your team. This is something that the entire team says yes to.
creates. Yeah, right. They all get involved. They're all rolling up their sleeves. It's not somebody just coming in and dropping a solution and say, there you go, see ya. They have to build the wheel before they can drive it.
That's absolutely correct, which is why in our proven process, the first EOS session is called the 90-minute meeting, which is 90 minutes of time on my dime that I give to any leadership team that is in any way EOS curious. They get a sense of EOS, right? Talk about us, talk about them, talk about the model, talk about the process. And at the end of it, I just sort of say, is EOS right for you? And if it is, am I the right EOS implementer? Because if I'm not, I have 648 other people that I'd be happy to email.
Well, that's a brilliant business philosophy. And I will say that it paints a rosy picture for a lot of possibilities for organizations. And as a knowledge management guy, I'm always looking for improvements of an organization's operations.
Awesome. Well, this is just one arrow in your quiver of how to become a great company. Here's a nugget for your listeners. I generally try to protect Mondays from session days, which are full day, so I can't take any calls, I can't do anything. So I protect Mondays, and what I do is in my Calendly, I call a help first hour. And if you wanna talk about wine or EOS or skiing or whatever, grab an hour. So I'll send you the link, you can give it to your listeners. Okay. And if they ever, you know, if they're EOS curious or whatever, find an hour and let's just get together.
Let's chat.
Yeah, yeah. Just for fun. I love meeting entrepreneurs. If you're an entrepreneur and you want to chat, giddy up.
Do you have that on a t-shirt?
I do not.
Well, thank you for being here today, Stas. And I'm sure the phone will be continually ringing off the hook for you.
Thanks a ton. Thank you for having me. This was a ton of fun.
Just finished our latest Because You Need to Know, a public service of Pioneer Knowledge Services. Please join us on LinkedIn and find us at pioneer-ks.org. Organization would like to help us continue this mission and sponsor one of our shows, email bynTK@pioneer-ks.org.